The sacred land, and it has seen many hands. It has wealth and gold, yet it is fragile and old. And now the greedy souls just don't care to know all the changes it will confront. So you know some people, they just won't understand. No, just won't understand these things. Thank you for your message, but I don't understand. Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Emily Wirth, the Food and Water Watch Water Program Director. She conducts research and promotes policies at the local, state, and federal level to help protect the nation's water systems as public assets and to safeguard the country's water resources. Welcome to Background Briefing, Emily Wirth.
Thank you so much for having me.
And the journal Nature have just released a study titled Demand for Water Outstrips Supply. And I've been speaking to some authors and environmentalists about the issues, for example, of the Canadian tar sands, where, and I spoke to some Canadian environmentalists about this, where they were pointing out that in order to extract the tar or the oil from the sand, they use enormous amounts of high-pressure heated water, and it ends up in these vast pools. And some of these environmentalists were asking rhetorically, that at some point in our future, maybe water is going to be more valuable than oil, and we're wasting all of this water that becomes polluted, and it's filling up these vast lakes up there that Bill McKibben describes as that looks like Mordor. So now we've got this report from Nature. It's starting to. It sounds like there's a lot more consciousness of this notion that. Oil that we think is so valuable, which we're going to great lengths to extract and using enormous amounts of water to do so, maybe at the end of the day we're going to rue what we're doing.
Yes, I mean, I think this is a really, should be a wake-up call for a lot of people. The study just found that we are simply over-exploiting our groundwater resources in many of the large aquifers around the world. We're exploiting them and extracting water at a much quicker pace than it's being replenished. And this study is really important in measuring exactly what this, they call it the groundwater footprint is, and in pointing out that currently this footprint that includes both human use and what's needed to maintain our ecological systems is currently about 3.5 times the actual area of the water that we have in our aquifers. And so I think this is an important wake-up call and a time for us to really examine some of the practices, including the really extreme energy extraction that's being used by the oil and gas industry that's not only really water-intensive but also presents a number of problems with water quality and also removes water from the hydrological cycle and is likely contributing to this over-extraction of our groundwater resources.
So we're not talking just about the Canadian tar sands where water is used and spoiled forever, vast amounts of it and stored in these lakes, but I take it you're referring to fracking, the process of fracking.
Exactly. With drilling and fracking for oil and gas has been something that's been rapidly expanding over the past decade in the United States as these new technologies have been developed that allow for access to oil and gas resources that were previously not accessible. But something that that we know about this industry is that it uses millions of gallons of water to drill and frack each well. And we're drilling and fracking hundreds of new wells a year just in certain states alone. And so these millions of gallons of water that are used for each of these wells really add up. And another thing is that the water, the industry combines this the water with sand and a mixture of different chemicals and injects it at high pressure underground to break apart rock to allow oil or gas to flow to the surface into the well. And anywhere between 25% and 75% of that, you know, it's mostly water, it's millions of gallons of water that's injected along with these chemicals, returns to the surface. and then it's what the industry calls produced water, but it's really contaminated water. And so each year in the United States alone, there's 2.4 trillion gallons of this produced water generated now from oil and gas operations. And that's part of, that's added to the 5.7 trillion gallons produced around the world. So a total of 8.1 trillion gallons now of this polluted water is being produced every day. And that's enough to cover the entire United States 3 feet deep every year. And that volume is only expected to increase at a rate of about 8%. And this is industry's own data that we saw from a conference that was attended earlier this year. And so this is a serious strain that's being put on our really more and more precious water resources. And, you know, we need to start changing the decisions that we're making about the use of water as it becomes something that we really need to safeguard.
Again, I'm speaking with Emily Wirth, the Food and Water Watch's Water Program Director. She conducts research and promotes policies at the local, state, and federal level to help protect the nation's water systems as public assets and to safeguard the country's water resources. So this extraordinary amount of water that's being used in fracking, and fracking, of course, is increasing exponentially, is there any way to reclaim it? Is it terminally polluted, in other words?
Well, there's a lot of research that needs to be done on this. The industry is making claims about that they'll reuse or recycle the water. And there's actually a lot of energy being put into developing systems to treat this water by the private water industry, private companies that are looking to generate profit from both selling fresh water to the oil and gas industry and also to develop very, expensive and energy-intensive treatment facilities that they would build to treat this wastewater. And so, it's hard to say if the science is there to properly treat this. There's a lot of companies across the world now who have a very keen interest in pursuing this as a profit-generating exercise. And so this is part of this problem is that as water becomes more scarce, many corporations are seeing this as a profit-generating resource, and there's more and more interest in water as a commodity and as a as something to be invested in as a source of future profit. And for us at Food and Water Watch, we find that to be a very concerning trend. We see water as a basic human right and a public resource that we should manage as wisely as we can for future generations.
Well, I remember speaking, Emily Wirth, with Josh Fox, who made the original film about fracking, and I think in many ways brought the very practice of fracking to public attention for the first time. He attempted to film a public hearing in the Congress, at a U.S. Congressional committee hearing, and he was kicked out. And the hearing was over. The Environmental Protection Agency were being castigated by Republican senators who were clearly funded by the oil companies, who were trying to discredit a study that they'd made, I believe, in Wyoming or maybe it was Montana, about how fracking had contaminated groundwater. So what you've talked about how enormous quantities of water are used in the fracking process, and then this water is polluted, and you gave a figure of it being able to cover the entire United States for several feet. So just I'm trying to get my head around that. But the other issue surely must be that if you're injecting all of this water and with various chemicals in it, near the water table, what's the likelihood of the kind of contamination that the EPA has found in Montana?
Well, the industry claims the contrary, but there are various studies that have pointed to contamination of underground sources of drinking water. There's a 1987 EPA report that found that fracking fluid had contaminated a water well in West Virginia. That's one. There's also a study that was published in Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences that found that methane concentrations near active gas areas were 17 times higher than those that were in non-active areas. And this is possibly due to an issue that Josh Fox has pointed to again more recently, which has to do with leaking well casings. And then again, the U.S. EPA released a report in December of 2011 that concluded that likely the impact of groundwater in Pavilion, Wyoming can be explained by hydraulic fracturing. And there was another study that came out this year, two studies, one by Myers in a peer-reviewed journal called Groundwater, and another in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences that have highlighted that the question is not if fracking will contaminate underground aquifers, but where it will happen next and when. And the research is showing that well casings fail and that fracking fluid that's injected underground stays there indefinitely, and it's not known where it's going to go and how it can end up encountering water underground through natural pathways. And so this is very concerning and something that is, we believe at Food and Water Watch, an issue that that needs to be addressed right away. We're calling for a nationwide ban on hydrofracking, and we think that now is the time to move on to a renewable energy future, and we should not be going to these desperate measures to extract the last remaining fossil fuels. And now is the time that our decision makers should really move on to the next generation of energy.
Well, just in closing, Emily Worth, the journal Nature's report that was just released, Demands for Water Outstrips Supply, it's a global problem. Obviously,
yes.
We talked a lot about the waste and pollution of water. Vast quantities are using to extract the last bits of gas out of shale and oil, etc. We talked about the Canadian tar sands. Again, we're going to desperate measures now to get the last drops of oil. I spoke recently with a specialist on the Indian power grid when it crashed recently, and she told me that, so much of it's bootlegged in the rural areas, but the main use of electricity in the rural areas is to drive pumps to extract groundwater. And she said that the depletion of the water table in rural India is an even greater crisis than the power crisis.
Wow.
So,
yeah,
there you have just, I'm saying I'm getting this stuff from different sources now, and it's starting to look like a pretty grim picture.
It is, and I think it's, it's time for change, and that more and more people around the world are starting to speak out about the problems, whether it's water, or there's been a real movement now growing around these concerns with fossil fuel from the Keystone Pipeline and the tar sands to this growing global movement of fracking. And actually at Food and Water Watch, we're gearing up for a global day of action against fracking, and we're calling it the Global Frackdown, and it's taking place on September 22nd in communities across the country where people who are speaking out against this this industry will be taking action in their communities at the same time. And you can find out more about that on foodandwaterwatch.org. So.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Emily Worth.
Oh, thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Emily Worth, who's the Food and Water Watch's Water Program Director. She conducts research and promotes policies at the local, state, and federal level to help protect the nation's water systems as public assets and to safeguard the country's water resources. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, or you can contact me, and I'll be back again on Sunday at 11 a.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Baby.
disappear.